Hey, happy Monday to you. Welcome to the program. I'm Gary Zimak. Great to be back here once again for another week of the show on Blog Talk Radio. On today's program, we will look at the mass readings for today's very special feast of St. Thomas the Apostle. What do you think of when you hear St. Thomas? Doubting Thomas, right? He's the guy who didn't believe. He's the guy that doubted. I think that sometimes Thomas just gets blamed for a lot of things that we don't dig deeper. We're going to dig deeper on the program today as we look at these readings, and I'm going to give you some additional insights about Thomas and how he can help us in our quest to grow closer to Jesus Christ. Also, I'm going to replay an interview that I did on my Spirit in the Morning show with Bobby Schindler. Bobby Schindler is someone, he's the brother of Terry Schiavo. You may have heard of him on the news. Bobby does a great job to fight or advocate for the medically vulnerable, people who sometimes have medical decisions made for them against their will. This is a really, really powerful ministry that Bobby has, and we're going to talk to him in this interview. Also, we'll have the regular segments from the Christophers and the Carlo Broussard and his segment from Catholic Answers. I want to do a quick prayer today, and then I want to share some information with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and come alive in us today. I ask you first to speak through me so that your words can come forth from my mouth, so that you can give us your message. You know what you want to say today. You know better than I do the message. Give me that message, and also open all of our minds and all of our hearts so that we can be receptive to your words. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you, and we praise you and bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, I feel good now. The Holy Spirit's in charge of the program. Now, today's beverage du jour, this is, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about this. I know I don't have a lot of time. We've got a 30-minute show. The beverage du jour has been a part of this program from the beginning. This is me just having my beverage, because what's the whole premise of this show? It's you and me sitting around a table talking about Jesus, right? Two friends chatting about Jesus. To the beverage du jour, here we go. Okay, that's good. Today's beverage du jour, a nice tall bottle of Mexican Coca-Cola. Love it. It's got real sugar. This is Coke the way I remember it. It's funny, a lot of people don't like this taste. This is the Coke that I remember. Anyway, we're not going to get into the pluses and minuses of drinking soda, but this is my beverage du jour today. I hope you've got a good beverage. Hope you've got a good snack. And I hope you are ready to go. A few words I want to share with you. Got some emails. You're liking the show. Thank you. Thank you for letting me know. And also thank you for letting me know what you don't like. I am obviously trying to find my groove with this new format, but I'm working out the details. And as my friend, I got an email from my friend Nicholas, who told me that what he's seeing, and I agree with this, is my attempt to find a groove with this program. What I'm trying to do is let my personality come through, right? And at the same time, fit in enough content or fit in content for a 30-minute program. I don't want this to be all fluff. I want to make sure that we're sitting around, we're talking, but we're talking about substantial things. It's a little tricky to do that in 30 minutes, really 15 minutes with an interview. But I'm going to keep at it. I want you to know that this show means a lot to me. You mean a lot to me. I thank you for your support. I thank you for your donations. This is not easy for me to ask for money, but the reason I'm able to continue the show and the reason I'm able to continue my full-time ministry is because of your support. It's not easy doing this. There's not a lot of money to be made, and it's hard to support my family this way. That's why I hate to have to ask you for money, but I do it out of necessity. I thank you for understanding that, and I thank you for letting me know that you value what I do and supporting me financially. So with that in mind, let's do the show. We'll chat more at the very end, but I want you to know that I'm trying to work out the details how we can do a good 30-minute show and give you content, and at the same time, let my personality come through so that it's just you and me sitting around and we can understand one another. Does that sound good? Also, total consecration to Jesus through Mary. It will begin September the 4th. It's Labor Day right here. I'll give you the details as we go forward, but we're going to do it again on this show on Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned for more information. It'll be forthcoming. All right. Feast of St. Thomas. This is a big day. Most apostles have feasts. Feasts are the second highest order of holy days that we can have. Solemnities, number one. Feast are right after that. And then we have memorials and optional memorials. So feast is a pretty big deal. If we were at Mass today, we would say the Gloria. So Glorias are said, is said during feasts. So it is a big deal. Thomas is one of the apostles. We don't know a lot about him. Tradition holds that he became a martyr. And when you consider, when you look at his doubting nature, it's very obvious that the Holy Spirit, this happened to all the apostles, the Holy Spirit affected them tremendously. When Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to the apostles and to his church, they became different people. Remember, if you were baptized, you were confirmed, you have the Holy Spirit. So you have a lot of power within you. The trick is, we've got to get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit work. Sometimes that's challenging. Let's do these readings. We'll talk more about them. First reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Brothers and sisters, you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the holy ones and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the capstone. Through him, the whole structure is held together and grows into a temple, sacred in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. All right, the reminder here is that you and me, we are part of the mystical body of Christ, the church. That's a big deal. We are part of Christ, mystical body, this mysterious, almost invisible body of Christ, the church. That's us. And Christ founded his church on the leadership of the apostles. So very weak people, such as Thomas, such as Peter, these guys were chosen by Christ to found the church. If he can use them, he can use us. And that's really the message I want you to get today. That's the message I want you to get. That if Christ can use these weak apostles, he can use you. The trick is, you and me, we need to learn to yield to him, to yield to the Spirit, so that we're able to work, so that he is able to work through us. Okay? And, you know, turn to these apostles, these saints in heaven, and say, help me. Help me. I'm struggling. Thomas, I'm doubting. What happened? How did you do it? You know, we'll talk more about what happened with Thomas, but let's do the psalm now. Psalm 117, go out to all the world and tell the good news. That is the message from the Lord to us today. He needs us. He needs us to go out into all the world and tell the good news. It starts with your family, your coworkers, the people you meet today. Give them a smile. Say something positive. You don't necessarily need to pull out your catechism right away and start preaching. In fact, you don't do that in the beginning because you're going to push a lot of people away. That's what we're called to do. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Glorify him, all you peoples. For steadfast is his kindness for us, and the fidelity of the Lord endures forever. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. It's a great message for us. A great message for all of us. That's what we're called to do, to go out to all the world and tell the good news. It starts by going to one person at a time. The Gospel from John, chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas said to them, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand, in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked. He stood in their midst, and he said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you come to believe because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. There is so much in this gospel passage. One thing that stands out, when the Lord originally, on the day of his resurrection, appeared to the apostles, remember where the apostles were? They were hiding. They were hiding for fear of the Jews. They thought somebody was going to kill them next. They came after their master. They killed him. Now remember, these guys were told by Jesus that he would rise from the dead. They didn't get it. So we have guys that are really, really very human, and they're very frail, and they're very much cowards. They're hiding. Thomas isn't with them. Now, here's what I want to ask you. Where was Thomas? We don't know. We don't know where Thomas was. Was Thomas so afraid that he didn't even want to be seen with the other apostles? We don't know. Was Thomas out going about his daily business? We don't know. We assume he's a coward, but maybe he wasn't. And I'm not saying either way where he was. But the fact of the matter is, Thomas was not with the apostles. They were all together. They were hiding. Jesus appeared to them on the day of his resurrection, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." Now, 1 week later, he came again. This time, Thomas was with them. He was now. Did Thomas run away? Did Thomas get afraid? Was he hiding? And then he finally said, "You know what? I better seek out my fellow apostles and hang with them, because it's wrong that I'm by myself. I should really be with them." That could be. But what I want you to remember is Jesus sought Thomas out. He came again. Thomas was obviously having some doubts. The other apostles said, "Look, we saw the Lord." He said, "I'm not going to believe it." If you look at that, you can take it two ways. He's doubting Thomas, right? Or he's being cautious. He wants to make sure, before he commits to believing in this resurrection, he wants to make sure that these guys aren't just hallucinating. Again, you can look at this two different ways. But the overall important thing to remember is that Jesus seeks each one of us out. He loves you, and he will find you, and he will keep knocking on your door. He's going to meet you where you are. But he doesn't want to leave you there. See, that's the important thing to remember. He doesn't want to leave you where you are. He wants to reach out and meet you where you are and then pull you up a notch or two. That's what happens with Thomas. He said, "Thomas, you're not believing? Here, put your hand in my side. Feel the nail wounds, the nail prints in my hands and my feet. Go ahead and feel them." And Thomas did that. And Thomas, as a result, gave that great declaration of faith, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus said, "Thomas, you believe because you see me. Blessed are they, those who do not see and believe." You and me. Jesus just called us blessed because we don't see him. We don't see him in the flesh. But we believe through faith. That's important, and that's powerful. Remember this. We're all weak. We all have a little bit of Thomas in us. We all doubt from time to time. It's not bad to doubt, provided that you remain open and you keep searching. That's the key. Thomas ended up back with the apostles. And again, we've got to fill in the details. We can use our imagination. We don't really know where he was, what he was doing. We do know ultimately, tradition holds, that Thomas became a martyr. Thomas, I believe, went to India and was martyred in India. These apostles, they were cowards. They were knuckleheads. They didn't get so much of what Jesus told them. But when the Holy Spirit came into their lives, things began to change. Therefore, there's hope for you and me. We've got that Holy Spirit. We really have to tap into that power of the Holy Spirit. So tonight, if you have not done it, I invite you to say, "Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come alive in me. I yield control to you." This is going to be a process. You're going to be doing this throughout the day. You don't just do it once and say, "Okay, that's it. Holy Spirit, you just take over." No, you got to keep doing it. Why? Because we have a fallen human nature. And so much about us wants to take control. I want to be in control. I don't want God to be in control. Or I'll say, "Yeah, Lord, you're in control of my life," until some crisis happens, and then I panic and I just take control back from him. It's a fine line, though, because we can't just sit back and do nothing. We have to do something. But are all of our actions and decisions, are they guided by the Holy Spirit? Well, I don't know, Gary. How can you be sure? Well, what you could do is you could start asking the Holy Spirit. Start with this. Say, "Holy Spirit," at the beginning of the day, try this. "Holy Spirit, please guide all of my actions today and all of my decisions. May everything I do bring you glory. Let me know what I should do. The people I talk to, what I say, guide me." And you could simplify. You could just say it in a couple words. "Holy Spirit, guide me throughout the day." If you meet somebody, if you have an encounter, if you feel the need to evangelize in some way, before you do it, ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, give me the words. And as you're talking to the person, Holy Spirit, guide me. If you start to get a little afraid, I don't know about trusting the Lord in this situation. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can give this donation to church because you never know. I could use the money. You know, there's a difference between saying that and saying, I need this money to pay my bills this month. Sometimes we get a little overcautious and we say, you never know. It could be a rainy day one day, so I better hoard my money. See, that's wrong. That kind of attitude's wrong. God wants you to pay your bills first. He doesn't want you to use your mortgage money to give to church. That's wrong. But sometimes we put our faith in money as opposed to the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you with that. That's one thing about the apostles. They gave up everything to follow Jesus. And they still really panicked at the end when Jesus was put to death. Ask for the intercession of St. Thomas and all the apostles to help you. And they're not going to let you down, all right? And say, come Holy Spirit, guide me. Let me know what I should do today. Give me the strength to do what needs to be done. When we come back from the break, we're going to be joined by Bobby Schindler, who will tell us about his work with the foundation that he established on behalf of his sister, his late sister, Terry Schiavo. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Kelly Clarkson's hit song, Piece by Piece, was inspired by her father abandoning her family when she was young, and the damage his absence temporarily had on her self-worth. But the song also takes a more positive spin when Kelly notes that her own husband is a devoted dad to their children. In an interview with the Associated Press, she revealed how her daughter's birth affected her perspective on the importance of fatherhood. While she doesn't have a relationship with her father, she said, "I'm in a very forgiving place about it and everybody's human. But I get choked up because I realize how lucky I am. A lot of girls that grew up with their daddy issues and not having that figure in their life, they take a very different road. I feel lucky that I'm not that girl." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Bobby Schindler is president of the Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network, and he advocates for the medically vulnerable in honor of his late sister. I have wanted to get him on the show for a long time to talk about some of these issues, and he joins us now. Bobby, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. And I want to thank you for the great work that you do.
Oh, well, thank you. It's my pleasure. Thanks for the invitation.
Bobby, we are very familiar, most of us, I'm sure most of our listening audience is very familiar with your sister's story. Can you talk a little bit about, just refresh our memory about what happened and how you decided to get into advocating for the for life, what you do. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, it was 12 years ago. I don't know how many remember really the details of my sister's situation, but she experienced a brain injury when she was 26 years old.
Right.
And what it came down to was she was married at the time, and Michael Schiavo was her husband, and he was her guardian, and he was in charge of caring for her. And during the course of her rehab and her treatment, he basically shifted his loyalties. He was dating another woman who eventually he wed, but he really lost his interest in caring for my sister and really petitioned a court down in Florida to end her life is what it came to. Mm-hmm. And our family was standing in his way. We were trying to do what we could to defend Terry's life and stop it from happening. We just wanted to bring Terry home and care for her, and it turned into a big public case.
Oh, yeah.
Many people remember, and it went through the court system, and it became a long, protracted legal battle, where it basically came down to Michael trying to remove Terry's food and hydration and her feeding tube, and our parents, as I said, just wanting to care for her the way she was, and unfortunately, we were unsuccessful, and it turned out where Terry was starved and dehydrated for 2 weeks before she died, and that was back in 2005.
Yeah.
And in response to that, our family saw what we went through with Terry. We realized other families were experiencing the same type of situation with their loved ones. And we felt as though we were called to continue to advocate for people like Terry. And that's what we've been doing since her death.
And Bobby, I mean, it's so important. It's such important work. How big of a problem is this out in the world?
Well, something we really didn't realize when we first started. We knew that there was problems in our healthcare system with denial of care, but yeah. We didn't realize the extent of what was going on and what's happened, Gary. I mean, essentially, and I'm painting a broad brush. Mm-hmm. Brush. Obviously, there's some wonderful healthcare facilities that exist. There's some wonderful doctors and nurses out there. Needless to say, but we're seeing where doctors now and ethics committees at hospitals are now in charge of making decisions as far as treatment for loved ones rather than family members. So we have strangers now who have the power to decide who's going to get treatment and who is not, and families are left wanting to provide certain treatment for family or for the loved ones, and they're being told no. And this type of thing. And we're not suggesting anything that would be unreasonable as far as treatment request. We're talking about simple requests such as food and water through a feeding tube, like in the case of my sister, where for whatever reason, hospitals now are assessing the situation. If they feel the cost is not worth providing treatment for a loved one, they'll come in and they'll say, "Look, we're not going to continue care," and then the families are standing there. Wondering what they can do to stop or try and get the treatment that they want to provide for their loved one.
Do you think that it starts with education and helping people to understand what's really going on here? And the reason I ask that, Bobby, is because this is a personal problem with me, because my mother was diagnosed with dementia several years ago. She's still alive, and I guess I don't know how many years ago, 10 years or so, she forgot how to eat, basically. And she is on a feeding tube, which is great, and she is basically healthy and being fed through the tube. But at the time it happened, and I remember telling some people, "Oh, my mom forgot how to eat. We're going to put her on a feeding tube." They said, "Oh, why would you do that? That's not fair to her." You know, and people just don't seem to understand what's going on here. So do you think education is important, or an important first step?
Well, I think that's a big part of it. Yeah, yes. I mean, I speak in generalizations, but what you're referring to with the food and hydration, what I was talking about with my sister,
yeah,
is many people don't realize, and this comes down to education, as you mentioned, people don't realize that food and water through a feeding tube has been reclassified as medical treatment. It used to be considered ordinary and basic care, but this shift or this change in the way we look at feeding tubes now as medical treatment now, again, puts the decision in the hands of physicians. That can make decisions to either provide or withdraw feeding tubes or food and hydration, as in the case of your mom. So, yes, it comes down to education, and even more important, Gary, is we need heroic or strong advocates. If people were to come in and advocate for loved ones, someone like yourself or your mom, that know the rights of your patients, know the rights of your mom as a patient, and are going to be able to step in, and they're going to be able to challenge doctors and fight and battle sometimes to get the treatment that you feel the loved one deserves. And again, within reasonable terms, it's hard to. I mean, I speak in general terms, as I said, but obviously each case is unique to the person and to the family. But I'm telling you that our medical rights are eroding more and more every day, and we're talking about, as I said, treatment for people like in the case of your mom that we don't believe are unreasonable that are being denied, and we just don't understand the reasons. And you know, I can think I know what's behind all this. It's pretty easy to guess, but but nevertheless, we need strong advocates that are going to step in and be there for loved ones in such a situation.
Now, you and I have talked offline, and I would like you to come on this show, and I know you said you're willing to do it on a regular basis, to let us know what's going on, to educate us about some of these life issues so that we can be better prepared. And I appreciate your willingness to do that. Bobby, I want to ask you before we go, what can we do to help?
It's one of the most difficult questions I get asked.
Yeah.
We have so much attention and focus on the abortion issue, which obviously it's needed.
Right.
But I just wish we would be vigilant and be more attentive to what's happening with this issue and understand what we're up against and the fact that we need to understand our rights as patients if we're ever in a crisis situation, mm-hmm. whether it's ourselves or our loved ones. And we've been talking a lot about it at our organization, where they were trying to classify spoon feeding as medical treatment, meaning
wow.
if someone with Alzheimer's hasn't the ability to feed themselves for whatever reason, they want to classify that as medical treatment, that someone has to help come in and help someone feed themselves. So, I mean, these are the type of things that are happening in the direction that we're heading. I don't think people realize the consequences of a bill passing that would determine spoon feeding as medical treatment. So it's these types of things that are out there that exist, that are laws that are trying to be passed that we just need to understand and be attentive to so we can fight against these types of things.
Right, right. Boy, spoon feeding is medical treatment. Something doesn't sound right about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Well, there isn't. But it's all cost containment, Gary.
Right,
these are all
right.
done. It's a lot cheaper to end someone's life than to provide them care if we don't think that their life holds any more value. And that's what it comes down to, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. Bobby, where's the best place we can follow you online, find out more about your work, or maybe invite you out to speak?
Sure. It's lifeandhope.com is our website. You can get all your information there. And if you're looking for a crisis situation, and you can reach us through that crisis lifeline. So if it's
Yeah, Bobby, you broke up just a little bit, but I'm going to have that linked. I'm going to have lifeandhope.com linked at spiritinthemorning.com. I know you're a really busy guy. You travel a lot. I want to thank you for taking some time out to be with us this morning, and I look forward to you coming back on the show again, my brother.
Thanks, Gary. It's my pleasure. God bless you.
I once had a gentleman come up to me and say he didn't think the principle of non-contradiction was true, that perhaps something could be and not be in the same respect at the same place and time. Now, skepticism doesn't get any more radical than this. The principle of non-contradiction is the principle upon which all human knowledge is based. So, how do we defend it? It's pretty simple. A skeptic can only speak against the principle if his words have the intended meaning and not the opposite. For example, if a skeptic says the principle is false, well, then he must intend the statement to mean what it expresses and not the opposite, namely, the principle is true. But this presupposes the principle and thus undermines his attempt to deny it. So a skeptic can't deny the principle of non-contradiction without ending in self-defeat. I'm Carlo Broussard with a ready reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
And welcome back to the show. Thank you, Carlo Broussard, and my thanks to Bobby Schindler for that interview that we did earlier on the program. Again, I want to thank you for being a part of the show. If you want to find out more information about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. If you'd like to bring me to your parish, I'm currently booking for either later this year or for 2018. If you'd like to have me lead a parish mission, I would love to do that. I've got some openings now, so now's the time to do that. It's going to be filling up pretty soon. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. You can either contact me through the website. There's a contact tab. You just click on that and get in touch with me that way. Or you can email me, Gary@followingthetruth.com. One final word. I mentioned at the beginning of the program about donations. I need you if I'm going to keep this thing going, and I know that you're going to be willing to help. You have been. I thank you for what you've done in the past. If you would like to see this show continue and you're able to help me out financially, I really need some new monthly sponsors. Could you help me out there? All you need to do is go to followingthetruth.com and click on donate, and you can either become a monthly sponsor. Now remember, you can cancel this at any time you want. You are not locked in for any long extended time frame. You do it securely through PayPal. You could do as little as $10 a month. It equates to, I think, 33 cents per day. If you like my work, if you like the show, I really need your support. If you can become a monthly sponsor, we could keep this show going for a long time, God willing, and with your help. Also, if you'd rather make a one-time donation, that's fine, too. You can do that at followingthetruth.com on the donate page as well there, too. If you're a coffee fan, you want to order some Mystic Monk coffee from that same page, please, that helps me out as well. All these little things, I don't like talking about them, but it's the only way that I'm going to be able to survive to continue to do this. And I know you care. That's why I'm giving you a chance to really join the team and to help me continue to spread the good news. I can't thank you enough for your support, for your prayers, for your kind wishes. Let your friends know about this show. That would really, really help me, because word of mouth is very important. I'm going to run now. Thanks again for listening. God bless you. Remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord's with you. So turn around and say hi. We'll talk to you next time. God bless. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.